In 2016, the president of the ride-sharing company Lyft predicted that in 5 years, driverless cars would account for the majority of Lyft rides. Well, here we are, just a few weeks removed from the company announcing it was selling its self-driving unit to Toyota. That came just months after its rival Uber sold its self-driving unit to the startup Aurora. Meanwhile, Tesla's been making headlines for the wrong reasons regarding its autopilot program. At least 4 people have been killed in crashes involving the self-driving system. And closer to home, an Illinois man was ticketed in Kenosha County for going 80 on Interstate 94 while asleep at the wheel. We're getting a status update on driverless cars, the challenges and the opportunities facing them, and whether everything people hoped will eventually come to fruition. Our guest is Michelle Krebs, the executive analyst for Cox Automotive and Auto Trader. Michelle, nice to have you with us again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
We came across an opinion piece yesterday that said the dream of a truly driverless car is dead. That author wrote that the technology just isn't there and it's proving to be too costly. Where do you see us at with autonomous vehicles right now?
Well, they're out there. I wouldn't say it's dead by any stretch, and I think they eventually will be there. But as you point out, a few years ago, there was talk that we'd all be driving around or being driven around in automated vehicles. And if you look back at some of the wild projections of 4, 5, 6 years ago, they were pretty crazy, and that's not where we are now. So where we are right now, and the pandemic has had an impact, there are companies out there, Cruise Automation out in San Francisco, Waymo, the Google division, and a lot of automakers are working on automated vehicles. They're out on the streets of Phoenix, but what we are seeing is indeed, this is a very expensive venture and without a payoff yet. So we are seeing consolidation in the industry, and we just aren't seeing them out there yet as robo-taxis as we were promised.
Who are some of the major automotive players still in the self-driving game?
Well, certainly Google's Waymo is ahead of everyone. They operate kind of a robo-taxi system in Phoenix, but they've just had an exodus of about 6 of their top executives, including their CEO, and they're out trying to drum up another $4 billion to invest in commercializing the business. So I would say they are the leader. They've got a deal with Walmart where they transport things from a distribution center to stores, that kind of thing. So I would say they're ahead. General Motors has an investment in Cruise Automation, which also Honda has an investment in San Francisco. And they are pushing ahead. They are working on robo-taxi kinds of services in San Francisco initially. They feel that if you can do autonomous vehicles in San Francisco, you can do it anywhere. And then, of course, Ford is involved with Argo AI, which is a company in Pittsburgh, one of the early pioneers of autonomous driving. And Volkswagen is an investor of that. That's the other thing. In addition to seeing consolidation in the industry, we're seeing a lot of partnering because it's so expensive. Hmm.
Michelle Krebs is the executive analyst for Cox Automotive and Auto Trader, and we're talking about self-driving cars and whether they really are the future. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about driverless cars? Would you be comfortable riding in one, or do you need a human driver? What do you see as the biggest upsides or downsides to autonomous vehicles? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Michelle, people interpret the term autonomous vehicle totally differently. What are we really talking about at this stage when we're discussing self-driving cars?
Well, the Society of Automotive Engineers has established different levels. So it goes from level zero, which is nothing is automated in terms of the driving, all the way to level 5, which is fully autonomous, don't need a steering wheel, don't need a driver. We have vehicles that have level 2 and we're approaching level 3. Things like, so I test drove a Cadillac with the Cruise automation system in it. So there are certain places that you can take your hands off the wheel and the car drives itself, but you have to keep your eyes alert. There's a camera that watches your eyes to make sure that you're looking at the road. And I believe that Tesla is putting that system back in its vehicles because there's been so many shenanigans with some of its drivers of Tesla putting on the autopilot and going to
Literally
sleep, like the one in
sleeping.
Wisconsin. So we're just not there yet of, eliminating the driver altogether, and taking their eyes off the road.
How far, though, has that self-driving technology come, though? I mean, to be able to take off your hands and have a car do something like parallel park for you is pretty revolutionary.
It is amazing. I mean, I think we can't, yes, we aren't all the way to level five yet, but it is pretty amazing the work that has been done. And, what we are starting to see now is instead of just jumping to a fully autonomous vehicle, we're seeing a lot of the work that's being done, the systems that are being developed, like you mentioned, parking itself, allowing people to take their hands off the wheel for in certain places. Those kinds of systems are gradually going into vehicles. And it's interesting, we did a study right after the fatal accident in Phoenix that involved an Uber hitting a woman walking a bicycle and killed her. That set every, it was horribly tragic, and people immediately were saying, I'm not going to drive an autonomous vehicle. But when we did a survey right after that, what we found is people who had experience, like on luxury cars, with some of these systems, not the full-blown level five autonomous, but some of the systems, they were much more comfortable because they'd driven them. They knew they worked. So I think maybe it'll be a more gradual process.
We are talking about the state of self-driving cars with Michelle Krebs. She's the executive analyst for Cox Automotive and Auto Trader, and you're part of the conversation. You can call now at 800-642-1234. What do you think about autonomous vehicles? Are you nervous or excited, optimistic or fearful about the concept? Would you feel comfortable riding in a car that can drive itself, or do you need a person? What about sharing the road with autonomous or semi-autonomous cars? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, here to hear your thoughts and answer your questions. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina. We're talking about self-driving vehicles. Tesla's autopilot system has been in the news lately, including for crashes that have killed people. One of them was in Southern California. And then in Kenosha County, a man was ticketed for going more than 80 miles an hour while he slept in the driver's seat. Michelle Krebs is our guest. She's the executive analyst for Cox Automotive and Auto Trader. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have? Give us a call. We've got Shauna in Milwaukee on the line. Hi, Shauna.
Hello. My comment is regarding, I have a dear friend of mine who has a history of epilepsy, and he's never been able to drive based on the condition of his disease. He'll never be able to drive. And so he's really looking forward to working out a lot of these kinks and bumps in the roads for automated vehicles. So that way he's able to rely on something besides public transportation. He goes to school for college in a more rural area, and so he does a lot of walking.
Oh, Shauna, thank you so much for raising that point. And Michelle, Shauna brings up this idea that a lot of people had, not just accessibility, but the idea that eventually we would not own cars, we would use these cars. What do you think about that?
Shauna raises a great point because there are audiences that could greatly benefit from automated vehicles. People with physical challenges are definitely one of them. Think about the elderly, how they have to give up their driver's license and but still want to get around. Those are really important audiences. So that is a good point. And the other thing I think, and you raise a good point in that it may not be, and I think it's unlikely that it'll be, that we'll have an automated vehicle sitting in our garage. I think the way we're going to acquire transportation differently in the future, autonomous or not. You may subscribe to a service where you have access to a vehicle. Maybe you have a subscription and you summon an automated vehicle, I don't know, through an app of some sort. There'll be something way more sophisticated than what we have now in the future, to be delivered to your home, take you where you want to go, and allow you a different assortment of vehicles. Maybe, you know, it's a small vehicle to get to work, or it's a bigger vehicle to go somewhere with your family or friends. So I think we have to rethink how we acquire transportation going forward, because it's gotten so expensive, and you know, there are people who need it that can't afford to just buy that vehicle.
Yeah, it leaves people out. We've got Peter from the Village of Summers who's given us a call at 800-642-1234. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I just want to, my main question is this. Is one of the impediments for the arrival of autonomous vehicles the lack of a public-private partnership? The roads that the governments, you know, state and federal, these roads are not being designed, as far as I can tell, with assisting the development of autonomous vehicles. For instance, in Japan, I see that they're already laying down new streets that have magnetic strips in them that were going to help guide driverless vehicles. So I guess my question is the lack of the public sector and private sector working together perhaps an impediment?
Peter, thanks for that question. Michelle, what about our infrastructure and how that plays into this conversation?
That is absolutely the perfect question. There are two things about government. You know, we don't have laws in place for this. And there's a big push right now at the Biden administration to, you know, allow more testing and put more of these on the road. But infrastructure is huge, and we can't even get infrastructure for electric vehicles yet. That's in the Biden proposal for charging stations and that kind of thing. And ideally, when we move to automated vehicles, we need a connectivity mechanism, 5G, whatever, so that not only can those vehicles talk to the infrastructure around them, but also to each other. So absolutely, that is a hindrance to adoption and to the ideal use of those vehicles.
Peter, thanks so much for that question. And you can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page if you'd like to weigh in or have a question there as we talk with Michelle Krebs. And Michelle, this is a little bit unfair, but I'd like you to break out your crystal ball, because we know that the predictions of 5 years ago, you've already said, were probably a little outlandish. Where do you see us in 5 years when it comes to autonomous vehicles?
I think we'll be, way ahead of where we are. But I think it'll look different than what we thought 5 years ago. I think we may see automated driving, for example, with trucks carrying loads. We will see them carrying goods. We saw a lot of that develop during COVID when people didn't want to share vehicles or ride hail, but they were used, like crews use them in San Francisco to deliver packages. You know, Domino's Pizza has partnered with Nuro, a little autonomous vehicle company, to deliver pizzas up to the door. So I think that it's going to be used differently than I think we originally anticipated.
And do you think the demand will be there to incentivize these companies to keep going on development to try to reach that payoff?
Well, it certainly looks like there's Silicon Valley companies and there's willingness to put money into these ventures. But I do think it'll take more partnerships, you know, between companies, as we're seeing right now, more consolidation. And it's definitely going to take some partnerships with government. You know, the Chinese government is working closely with companies on automated vehicles. And I think that's probably what we're going to have to see in North America and Europe.
And is that a practical goal, to set aside the competition and work together?
Yes, and we're actually seeing a lot of that. I mean, Volkswagen and Ford are working together on electric vehicles and automated vehicles. Honda and General Motors are working together. There's a lot of that going on because everybody wants to get the same goal. We want zero emissions. We want, you know, safer vehicles, which autonomous vehicles can promise. That's the promise of them further down the line. So there is that goal in mind, and they can approach it in different ways, even though the technology, they can work on the technology differently together.
All right. Well, it's certainly an evolving situation. Michelle, thank you for catching us up.
Thank you. Talking 5 years about it.
Sounds great. We'll put it on the calendar. Michelle Krebs is the executive analyst for Cox Automotive and Auto Trader. We talked with her about the status of autonomous vehicles and what the technology's future may look like.